So today begins a, we're jumping in on a tradition that the church has expanded, has been celebrating for centuries, namely that being Advent. And it's something we had done as a church for many years, and we kind of pulled back for a year or two. And then last year, I was like, I really miss our Advantageous series. It was just a wonderful time to kind of prepare our hearts for Christmas. And so today being the fourth Sunday before Christmas, we are beginning Advent together. Now, for some of you who may have come from more traditional churches, you know exactly what Advent is. For others that may have not been exposed to that, it's kind of a little bit of a mystery. I had a couple of people say, isn't that what Catholics do? You know, no, here's really what Advent is all about. The word Advent literally means coming. And so it's the church has traditionally celebrated Advent four Sundays before Christmas, and what it does is just begins to prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus that we celebrate on Christmas Day. In essence, we're really doing what much of the marketing community is doing, right, with the hopes of us spending our money at Christmas, right? They're trying to get to us as soon as possible to be prepared for the gift giving. What Advent is taking a moment of pause 4 weeks out to make sure that we don't miss Christmas. Right? I mean, Christmas Day is going to happen, but how many know it's easy to miss Christmas? It's easy to forget what it's all about. And so what's really nice about Advent is it causes us to kind of take a moment and consider where our hearts are at those times. And so Advent is really, it's a tool. It's a tool to make sure that along with the fun and the preparing and the family and all the stuff that goes with Christmas, we make sure it's a tool that we don't miss Christmas in the midst of all of the preparations for it. And so I really want to encourage you to journey with us these next 4 weeks together, to really prioritize the readiness in your heart of Christmas. And to help you towards that end, what we have on our website, integrityli.org, you'll see that there's four free devotionals that you can download. There's two of them that are every day of Advent, and then two of them that are once a week, so whichever one works into your schedule. But something that you can go through as an individual or with somebody else, and just on a daily basis, taking a moment to consider this monumental moment that we have experienced in Jesus Christ as we prepare for the readiness of Christ. And so really want to encourage you to do that. And so each Sunday, what we're going to do is we'll begin service by lighting one of our Advent candles, right? And each candle represents the different themes of Advent, as you see on display on the walls. It's hope and peace and love and joy. And the reality of it is each one of those find its fulfillment in Jesus. Right, and so each Sunday I'll be pulling up a different person to come and help light our candle for that particular theme. And so this morning I'm asking if Colin Tracy Nielsen would come at this time and light our hope candle. Yeah, let's give him a big shout out.
So she just said you weren't joking.
I guess you told us about 20 minutes ago.
It's all right. There's directions on the side of the lighter.
Nice.
That's right. I just want to make sure Tracy hadn't just done her nails, because that could be a...
Yeah, really.
Right.
I just thought this morning as we were sitting there, you know, and I don't know why, this is like a really weird, odd memory, but we were in the German hall when we first started coming to Integrity, and I had to have a knee surgery. And we weren't really part of the family that long, and I just remember that the doctor was like, oh, you're going to have arthroscopic, a couple little stitches, you'll be fine, you'll be back to work in a couple of days. Well, it turned out, I remember waking up in the recovery room and him saying, you have more stitching on the inside than the outside. You know, you probably need a wheelchair. You'll be out of work 3 weeks. And I just remember the pain was like, I have three kids. It was like the most excruciating pain I've ever been in. And I remember coming to a service, I think it was like a week later, and I had a wheelchair. I was sitting there, and I actually took a painkiller because it was so intense. And I remember Pastor Tom come over to me, and he said, listen, he said, just think, this time next year, you won't even be able to think or remember the pain. And it was like, you know what I was thinking this morning, how, you know, our hope is in the Lord is, you know, my hope is for the next hour, for the next day, for the next week, for some of it's a month, or 6 months, a year later. But it was so much more than my surgery and the pain. And there's been times in my life over the past, I don't even know if that was like maybe 10 years ago, that Tom's words ring in my head, it won't be like this. And sometimes it's not a year. Sometimes we're going through a struggle with the kids or with life or work, and God just reminds me, and it's like, look, good thing Tom's a good-looking guy, because I see Tom's face, and I'm like, you know, and it's like, it won't be this bad in a month.
That's right.
It'll be okay in 6 months. Just take a breath. Think about next year. And just, I'm just blessed. I'm just beside myself to know that we have a hope in a God that just loves us unconditionally, that has such a future beyond we could imagine. And even if we're going through something, that it could just be a day, it could be a week, a month, a year, but knowing that God has got us to carry us through. The hope is just so deep, and it's just so, it's my anchor. It's really my anchor. So.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that's great.
Do you want to say anything? And I'm like,
it's a good thing I gave her only 20 minutes. What encouraging words.
I got nothing.
Anyone is any purple one is good. All right, and that kicks off Advent for our second service. Thank you. Hope, peace, love, and joy. These are the themes that traditionally are celebrated during Advent season, and these are the themes that we have celebrated over the years. We'd look at each of these words from a different angle and see how we have been impacted by those. I think, like Tracy, I think so many of us can think of any one of these words and can remember how God had ministered those things to our lives. But this year, we're going to do something a little bit different as we consider hope and peace and love and joy. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at these through the lens of mission, of being on mission. Because in the end of the day, Christmas is really all about mission. It's Jesus leaving eternity past and stepping into time because man had a problem. There was a need, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? And so Jesus went on the ultimate mission trip because you and I were in need of a savior. I so much appreciated that song this morning, "Oh, How I Need You." As I was singing that, I was thinking of just the many ways in which God has met my needs. How we do need him. People will say, well, Christianity is a crutch. No, it's a complete stretcher. We need him. You know, people today, they don't want to see themselves as people in need. They don't want to see themselves as being in need of help. But, you know, God has designed us in such a way that creation needs creator. And we really will never fire on all cylinders until we are walking hand in hand with the Savior. And so, yes, we need him. And Christmas is all about the ultimate missions trip that Christ went on to reach a lost humanity that was separated from God. We were hopeless without him. Because of what happened in the garden, when man turned his back on God, and the Bible says sin entered into the world, separation was experienced, and man's darkest day became a reality. It was at that moment that for the first time in creation, hopelessness was experienced for a short amount of time. I can't think of a sadder word in the English language than the word hopeless. Can you? Hopeless. I mean, hope is that thing that gives us a little kick in our step. Hope is a reminder that no matter what I may be facing right now, I'm going to get through this. Hope is a reminder that how difficult, no matter how difficult things may be coming at me from time to time, there's going to be a day where, as we reminded this morning, we're not going to remember the pain. And for the child of God, there is hope that we can have even at the end of our lives. Oh, grave, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? We who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, even death cannot quench the hope that we have. We literally will step out of eternity, out of time and into eternity and forever be with our Lord. We, amongst all people, have hope today. And so this idea of hopelessness is indeed the saddest word in the English language. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ." He's calling to their remembrance what they were outside of Christ. You know, sometimes we need to remember what we were before Jesus stepped in. We need to remember that we were at one time lost, that we were at one time dead in our trespasses and sins, that we were at one time heading to an eternity in hell, forever lost and forever separated from God. You see, to the degree that we can understand that and embrace that reality is the degree that we will appreciate the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And Paul says to him, remember that you at one time were separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and you were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope. That's what we were. Having no hope and without God in the world. Could you imagine if you didn't have God? Could you imagine you didn't have hope? But you see, that's what we were. And Paul is calling them to remember their past predicament. But thankfully, it doesn't end there, does it? That's not the ending of the passage of Scripture. We were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But, he says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are once or afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Hope was realized. Reconciliation became a reality for us because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate communion each time. It's a reminder of what Christ has done for us. He shed his blood so that we who were afar off, we who were alienated from God, we who were without hope, can have hope in Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself calls us to come and remember this on a regular basis, because sometimes we forget the hope that we have in Jesus. And you see, the message of Christmas is a message of hope, because the message of Christmas is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we can't appreciate the gospel, which means good news, if we don't understand the bad news. The bad news is we were at one point hopeless. And the good news of the gospel is that we don't need to stay that way. We have hope in Jesus Christ. Everything changed in the garden. As we think of those opening words of Scripture in Genesis chapter 1, we see God, who always was, begin the process of creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. and darkness covered over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God, who saw that darkness, said, "Let there be light." And light appeared. God began to create. Waters and birds and fish and animals and trees, the sun, the moon, the stars. And then in an act of creative genius, he creates man in his own image and breathes the breath of life. And Adam and Eve are walking with God in the cool of the day. Creation with Creator in perfect harmony. Enjoying relationship the way we were designed to experience it. Until that day came where Adam, who was not watching and protecting his wife, leaving her in a vulnerable position, was approached by the serpent. You know the story. And he begins to tempt Eve. Has God really said, "You shall not eat of the tree"? I mean, God's given him everything to enjoy, to be stewards over, save one thing. A visible reminder that they were not owners of the garden. God was the owner of the garden. They were stewards. And their acknowledgement, their recognition of the fact that they were stewards and not owners was going to be seen in their willingness to obey God's command. And in a moment of weakness, Eve buys the lie, eats of the fruit, hands it to her husband who eats, and the Bible says sin enters into the world. Separation, for the first time since creation, is experienced between Creator and creation. And now a new darkness comes over the earth. It is not a visible darkness, but it is a spiritual darkness that is a result of sin that enters into the world. Nothing was now as it was intended to be. And we see as a result of the sin in the garden and the consequences of those sin, we see then man beginning to act out on that sinful nature. As we work through the scriptures, we see how man began to seek to satisfy his own desires of the flesh. But we see at the moment in Genesis 3, God reminds him that he's going to send one who's going to reverse the curse. A promise is made that things aren't going to stay in darkness forever. And as we go through the Old Testament, we begin to read and see how each of the prophets began to point to one who is going to come that would expel the darkness that they were under. The hope of Israel, the Messiah, the chosen one, was soon to come for centuries. Every prophet, every system would point to one who would come. But until that time, there was darkness. Until that moment. I love the way John opens up his gospel. Certainly akin to the beginning ways in which Genesis opens up for us. John chapter 1 in verse 1 says, "In the beginning." Can I just say that's good news, isn't it? It doesn't matter what's coming after that. It just reminds me that there's a new beginning about to happen. "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God," is how John opens. And verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh." and dwelt among us. God, Emmanuel, drew near and visited this creation that was in darkness and put in motion a new beginning. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, we've seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to this dark world. And John writes in verse 4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. What people looked for in their dark situation was light. And life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness. Jesus shows up, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. Darkness was experienced when man disobeyed God. And darkness was done away with when the light of the world came that day. As we begin the Advent season together, I want you to know that Christmas, the coming of the Savior, the Word becoming flesh, is no less than God looking into the dark situation of the world. And in the same way that he spoke into the darkness in Genesis, he speaks, I am the light of the world. And the darkness goes. He spoke hope into the hopelessness of our world. And he became the hope of the world. He became our rescuer. He is the one that the Old Testament pointed to. One is going to come. The consolation of Israel. It gave hope that man's desperate predicament had a solution. And what I love is, you see, God didn't send the solution. He became the solution. He didn't send a business plan. He didn't send a person to go on his behalf. He became the solution. He came himself. Could you imagine for one moment if Christ hadn't come? You see, we live in the dispensation of grace. We live in a time where the darkness has been extinguished. But could you imagine if Christ hadn't paid for your sins? Could you imagine that all that was lost in the garden, if it remained in that situation? Imagine they had eaten the tree of life and lived in that fallen state forever. That's why God removed the tree out of the garden after they fell. Imagine there was no remedy. Imagine there was no hope. We don't like to go there in our mind's eyes. But could you allow yourself to just consider for one moment what eternity is like? Can our minds even begin to wrap itself around this idea of this word forever? There are no calculations. There is no comparison. There is no way that we can possibly understand this idea of the word forever. Just when we think we might be able to comprehend it, we've only understood the very beginning of it. Could you imagine being lost in that state forever? It is hopelessness outside of Christ. But Christ did come. Christ did live. Christ did die. Christ did rise again. And he brings to us a hope that is beyond hope. You see, to the degree that we understand our predicament outside of Christ is the degree that we will understand the hope that we have in Christ. I think of what the angel said to Joseph that day when his betrothed was found with child. Mary, a virgin, engaged to Joseph, is now with child. And I can only imagine all of the thoughts that might go through Joseph's mind. And the angel appears to him and says, she will bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. If you want a real quick summary on the ministry of Jesus Christ, it is exactly that. He will save his people from their sins. He will restore hope to the hopelessness of the world, Joseph. He is our rescuer. He is our redeemer. He is our hope. How many have been recipients of the hope of Jesus Christ? It is a hope that goes beyond our circumstances. It goes beyond our finances. It goes beyond our health. It goes beyond anything else. It is very real. As I said, God didn't send the solution. He became the solution. He didn't send somebody on his behalf. He became the solution. But there was a time where he would leave the earth, having accomplished all that he set out to do. There was a time where, while he never stopped being the solution, there is a time where he did, in fact, send the solution to the world around us. It was after he was crucified. It was after he rose again. It was after he ministered for 40 days. And it was right at the ascension where he looks at his disciples and says, now you go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, there was a time where he came, but then there was this time where he now sends us. We who have been the recipients of hope, we who have been on the receiving end of God's grace and goodness and forgiveness and hope, are now the sent ones to bring hope to the world around us. Now the rescued are called to go out and bring the solution, bring the hope to the world around us. That's what we're called to do, church. That's what we've been left to do. That's the mission that Jesus has left us with. I like what Bill, I was reading Christianity Today, and Bill Hybels wrote in there that the church of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And he said, we're the hope of the world for three reasons. He said, number one, we're the hope of the world because we carry the truth of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else this world really needs save Jesus Christ. Because when we have Christ, we have everything. We have the answer to man's greatest need. He said, we are called to be extensions of Christ to the world. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his heart. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 25, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. And we're going to say, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you thirsty? And he's going to say, as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You see, it's the church that is to be Jesus to the world. And we get so caught up, don't we? We forget sometimes. Life begins happening at rapid pace speed. And we fail to remember sometimes that we have been sent on mission. We are called by God to do something. And then we stand at the breach in intercession for the world. It is we who stand between the wrath of God and those who are under it, and we pray, God, save them. That's what we're called to do. But you see, we live in a world where the world is blinded by their own sin. Many don't realize the hopelessness of this situation. Certainly many in the church don't realize how hopeless we were. And indeed, the world has no idea. As they chase after success and relationships and notoriety and all this stuff, hoping to fill this God-shaped hole in their heart that only God can fill. And many will spend a lifetime only to realize nothing satisfies like Jesus. Such were some of us, right? Pursuing everything and anything, trying to fill that void, blinded. I saw a really great video clip a while back that really, it's a comical clip, but it had such truth to it that it just really gave me such a clear snapshot of the world around us. I share it with you today.
Starting today, Febreze will be conducting a series of experiments with real people right off the street. Meet Susan and Erica. We asked them to be part of our first experiment for Febreze Fabric Refresher. They agreed.
So I've got three cushion couch.
Oh, I feel it.
Yep,
I never know.
You guys can just sort of take some deep breaths and tell me what you smell.
Floral, light floral, lilac.
Maybe even a little bit of citrus.
Like when you have fresh laundry.
Even a little bit beachy.
Being outside, fresh lawn being cut.
Wispy white curtains.
Okay, take your blindfolds off.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Where? Hello?
There's some great comedy in that. But there's such reality in that. So many that have chased after the dream. So many that thought if I could just earn enough money, that were blinded by their own ambitions, and then when they lost their job, they're left crying, oh my God. Oh my God, I have nothing. To see the face of young people who engage in things that their body was not yet ready to engage in, who experience things outside the sanctity of marriage because all of the world says it's okay and it's all right, accept it, and yet inside there's something that they know is wrong, and then when their heart is broken, they're left like that, saying, oh my God, I've got nothing. So many that are blinded, unaware of the consequences, thinking and enjoying the temporary pleasures of sin. Solomon was right in saying that sin is pleasurable for a season. So many just enter into these things because, hey, it's just kind of like, this is what I do, and it's fun, and it's great, and hey, it smells like the ocean, and the environment is wonderful, and they have no idea what they're sitting in is absolute filth. Until the blinders come off, and listen, the blinders always come off. They always come off. And it's in those moments, church, that we need to be there for when the blinders come off. It's in those moments that we are not there to point a finger and say, well, see, this is what you shouldn't be doing. This is a time for the church to bring hope to the world when the blinders reveal that their reality isn't so blissful. When they're broken and they're damaged goods. It's those times that the church is called to be an extension of hope and love to the world. Because we had the blinders on too. We pursued the pleasures of sin. We sought success. We sought fulfillment. We sought everything and anybody to try and fill something. And for time, for a season, it was good. It was enjoyable. And then when we're left with the consequences of those decisions, we're left crying, oh my God. Oh my God. It's there that the church must be ready. There are people engaging in lifestyles today that will knock the religiosity right out of you. That instead of pointing a finger and letting people know where they went wrong, listen, they know they went wrong. They don't need a sermon. They need hope. And Jesus sent you and me to be that hope. As I looked at these folks yesterday, and I just thought, there's no hope outside of Christ. And yet, we're called. We're mandated. We're commissioned. We're ambassadors for Jesus to bring hope. Integrity Church, let's never forget that we've been the recipients of hope, a hope that we did not deserve. And let's not get distracted by life. Let's not get distracted by success and relationships and home building and all the stuff that can pull us in so many different directions. And you know what? Many of those are good things. But they are not the main thing for which God has saved you. They are not the thing that deserves all of our energy and all of our effort. That is reserved for being an extension of Jesus to the world around us. Seek first, Jesus said, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. God will take care of those things. God knows what you have need of before you even ask about them. But let's be busy doing what God's called us to do as a church. Let's reach people. Let's be Jesus to the world around us. Let's not miss Christmas. I pray this week that you go into your week looking for somebody that you can extend the message of hope to. That might look like an embrace. That might look like a word of encouragement. That might look like a hot meal. That might look like whatever it may be. But look for it, because you know, there's a lot of people who have those blinders on. They have no idea the filth that surrounds them. May we be Jesus to the world around us this Christmas and always. May we be who have been the recipients of hope. May we become the ambassadors of hope to the world around us. May God make us good at that. And may God be proud of this church as we get outside the four walls and start shedding and sharing the love of Christ. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for what you're doing. God, I pray for two things for our church family. Number one, I pray that you'd give us a burden for the lost. Lord, help us to see what you see. As Jesus looked upon the crowds, the scripture says he was moved with compassion. Lord, help us to be moved with the lostness of people to the point where it mobilizes us. I pray that we would have hearts that are willing to go. And secondly, I pray, Lord, that there would be a revival of obedience in this church. Obedience to fulfill the Great Commission, regardless of how we feel about it. Help us to obey. Help us to be what you've called us to be. Help us, Lord, to make you proud in the way we do it. God, thank you. Thank you that you are the hope of the world. And Lord, thank you that you're our hope. Thank you, Lord, for each person in this place. I pray in the name of Jesus that we would walk out from here with a greater appreciation, a greater love for the hope that you've given to us in Christ. So much so that it mobilizes us to extend it to others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.